The Around the NFL Podcast. Never refuses free underpants.
That's true. Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast presented by Head & Shoulders. My name is Dan Hanzus, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes. So many heroes. Mark Sessler, Colleen Wolf, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, people?
What's up, gang? Hey!
That's actually not true off the top. We were given free underpants months ago, and I wound up giving them to the paramour in a strange development.
That's interesting.
For everyone.
Inappropriate on some level?
Feels inappropriate to me. Yeah. I am actually, and I'm not kidding, wearing MeUndies right now. I am totally sold on the product, and I continue to long for them to return as a sponsor.
The rare sponsor that's no longer with us.
Wow. I could tell that you were sold on them really just based on your reaction at the media summit we had that night.
Yeah.
I knew from the start.
I thought Mark was sold on white wine at that.
Well, it's possible to have been sold on both.
Well, it takes a lot to impress Mark because famously he didn't wear underwear for a decade.
They changed my clothing habits.
I remember being fascinated by that and went on for years. And then one day, all of a sudden, no longer was it just a thin layer of denim separating you from everything.
I remember Mark being annoyed that I brought that up on the show once.
Yeah, I continue to be annoyed that you just did it about a minute ago.
Any chance you go back to Commando?
It all depends. I mean, if I lived in Minnesota in like the thick of winter, no. But like out in California, it's like why do I need extra layers of clothing all over me? No.
Easy breezy.
There you go.
Exactly. A lot to get to today. Big show. Let's see. What do we got coming up today? Let's go through. We have Monday Night Football. The Lions and Packers played at Lambeau Field, and things are getting more and more grim for the Packers by the day. Also, we are going to preview Thursday Night Football. That is a NFC West matchup between the Seahawks and Cardinals. And then, yes, it's been teased for a while. It got pushed back a week, but now is the time. We're midway through the season. It's time to stick a fork in some teams. Yes, it's an Around the NFL Podcast tradition where we decide which teams have literally no chance of making the playoffs, and it's not it's not always a happy show. Speaking of which, not always happy news to report, Mark. We are a news podcast at our heart. And you have some very sad news from Sessler Manor, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, this came out of nowhere. As you know, we have had a little kitty at our house that our children named Boo, despite many great names from pouring in from the listeners, hashtag ATN cat. But yesterday, we were preparing to take the little kitty to the vet to kind of prepare it for like an adopted home. And my wife, Simone, who was taking care of it with our neighbor around the clock, basically, found it and it had passed away.
No.
So Boo is gone. And it was a very sad moment for our family. And like, I came into this not kind of always for years decrying cats, not a cat person, don't trust people who own cats.
You don't trust me?
No, but I mean, especially guys that own cats. But I've changed my my whole feeling on that. That it really.
Especially guys that don't own
Well, that's
cats.
How I felt for years.
Oh,
but
no.
So that. The one good thing is on Sunday night, before it passed away, both our little boys, Luke and Colton, had time to spend with it and feed it and stuff. So they were very heartbroken.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, it's too bad.
So ATN Cat did not make it. Very sad. But I almost feel like now we need some type of mascot more than ever. ATN Cat could have been that Boo.
Yeah.
It just didn't work out. But, Mark, you and the family, you did your best.
Well,
that,
there was natural, I think, that, you know, my wife, Simone, did like the most work along with our neighbor, and they were heartbroken because I think for them it felt like we failed, and they really didn't. The vet was like, this cat did not have a large chance to live. It was found days after it was born, and it was really in ragged shape. And so, you know, they did do everything they could.
We should do something in the name of Boo.
Yeah, we should prosecute Mom Cat, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Has anybody heard from Mom?
She's been back, right, in the backyard?
That's a whole nother subplot. Well, she just, I think Mom Cat is
has
had a lot going on in her own life, from what I can tell.
Personal problems?
I don't know. I don't know that the skinny.
Anyway, very bad news, and I really feel badly for your family, Mark, but we will move on, and maybe another cat shows up. Who knows? It's possible, right?
It's very possible.
They said that this irresponsible mom cat, the vet said that she might lay some more cats.
Yes, our backyard apparently our backyard seems to be sort of a landing spot for this. So.
And you learned a valuable lesson that maybe not all cats and cat owners, you know, like my mom's a big yeah. cat.
No, but
cat
no, it's man. Only male cat.
No,
owners.
It was much more. Yeah.
Or my,
no,
I guess
like,
my dad.
A male cat owner, were more, those guys
so
were more on my radar.
You don't trust John.
No, but now my opinions
that
have changed.
Checks out.
My opinions have changed. I don't trust John for a variety of other reasons, not pet ownership.
All right. So,
John Ronald Gonzalez, born 12th, 1977.
That guy.
Sports writer who's married to NFL media broadcaster Colleen Wolf. John, who's a Pisces, resides in Los Angeles with his wife and two dogs.
Right. And a cat. See, that drop is not even correct.
We don't recognize cat. At least
I know.
We didn't until now.
Yes.
We only recognize one cat on this podcast.
And it's Boo.
It was Boo, and now Boo's gone. So, once again, Pat's cat's persona non grata.
Rest in peace, Boo.
Rest in peace, Boo. Let's talk about Monday Night Football.
Stafford goes back, cocks his arm, throws a long pass down the near sideline. A diving, leaping catch and a touchdown. Detroit on the near sideline. What a grab by Marvin Jones.
Who was that again?
That was Kevin Harlan.
Of course, it's Kevin Harlan of Westwood One. Matthew Stafford threw for 361 yards, two touchdowns, both to Marvin Jones and the Lions. Three-game losing streak. Fiend after a 30-17 win on Monday night over the Packers, Greg Rosenthal. Let's start with the Packers. We're going to get to the Lions. Because to me, the story on some level was the Packers, this idea that perhaps that they could survive Aaron Rodgers, his absence, and hang around in the NFC playoff picture until Rodgers potentially could come back. That all feels like a pipe dream, especially after last night's game.
Yeah, Brett Hundley he holds the ball too long when they try to go down the field. And otherwise, you know, they're just throwing the ball so short. In the first drive, they're saying, well, this is how you build up a young quarterback, you know, on Twitter, like nice short passes. Like you can't do that the whole game. And I watched these three games now with Hundley, one where he came in as a backup. And I'm thinking, show me something, Mike McCarthy. You had 2 weeks to prep for this game, and Dom Capers on defense, but you had 2 weeks to prep for this game, and you came out of the bye, and this is what they came out with, and now I'm just not expecting to see it this season.
I'm with you, and it's another – you look at Houston, you look at Green Bay, and these teams around the league that think they can build an organization without a franchise quarterback start there. Forget about it. The Packers and the Texans – are dead meat now because their one starting quarterback is out and the complexion of the entire team changes. You can call it a team sport, and it is, but you remove Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are beatable by anyone in the league right now.
Well, it's a bummer for anybody who's an NFL fan just because of the way that these games are now. I mean, you watch the Packers and it's just they're a shell of themselves. They can't score any points. And like you said, Greg, I mean, they had a bye week to prepare for this. And now next week they're facing a division rival. I guess you could say a rival. I mean, they're facing the Bears. And they're going to be on 6 days rest. Like, that's a short week for them. I don't know what they're going to do and how they're going to come out and score any points.
But that's on the organization. It's not just on Aaron Rodgers. I don't think every team would collapse. It's hard to compare Aaron Rodgers to anyone, but I don't think the Patriots, for instance, would collapse as much with Tom Brady. Because you would expect other parts of the team to step up. Get a stop, Packers defense. I mean, that's part of the reason. They were letting the Lions go up and down the field all night. I mean, there's two different groups here, and one of them's had the same coordinator since, I don't know, 1941, it feels right. like, with Dom Capers, and they're not getting any more stops.
Well, they have Blake Martinez trying to cover Golden Tate. I mean, it's like Detroit looked extremely lively in the passing game because of the way Green Bay could not cover them.
They lost Morgan Burnett again, too, in this game. He was just coming back, which was going to be a big boon for them. And so another key player goes
down. They lost
down.
Brian Bulaga on the line to a torn ACL. I mean, they are – we're going to –
Jordy Nelson's not quite –
bring them up
later.
He used
to be a top five or six receiver.
Not right now.
He's not quite that guy either.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, Devontae Adams is – you could say he's a top 10, top 20 receiver. And all these guys, Randall Cobb's a nice, useful slot guy and could be good with a really good quarterback.
Who seems to vanish for
everyone's,
games at a time.
Yeah.
Everyone's wasted. Martellus Bennett, he's been, even before Aaron Rodgers got hurt, he was not a factor. I just think that the Packers are done. They're cooked.
They're done. Well, that's a tease for later. But Matthew Stafford and the Lions would have been very difficult to beat in this game regardless because of the way their offense was playing. And that
not one punt.
Right. That doesn't have anything.
For the first time since 1971, the Lions did not have a punt in a game.
Matthew Stafford is so good when he's on. I mean, he is as talented. If it's just a contest of which quarterbacks, if they're protected well, can make the prettiest and biggest variety of throws. Stafford is right there, I think, with Aaron Rodgers as the best quarterback in the league.
Hole? You talking what? Turkey hole?
Uh-oh. I mean, if he can stick it in the turkey hole, that's for sure.
Calm down, Greg. Family podcast.
Yeah, please.
No, but he can. He throws it between the corner and the safety. John Gruden was obsessed with it during the game. He brought it up a bunch of times. Turkey hole this, turkey hole that. We have it, actually.
I call that the turkey hole. Don't ask me why. Let me show you what the turkey hole is. It's the turkey hole. It's the area when the corner rolls up, there's a hole between the safety and the corner. It's not an easy throw. You got to be able to rifle it in there, Sean. And I had a quarterback here in Green Bay who was able to do that at a high level.
Brett Favre's talking about, of course. Mark, strangely, this got on your radar, yes or no?
Not this so much as the North Dakota strong bit from last week. I know that you heavily produce these shows and you want to go in with a couple items that, but I sometimes think, and I like Gruden a lot, but it's like you can't every week come out with like a hashtag phrase that becomes like a cultural sensation.
North Dakota strong, it was trending nationally.
But everything trends during Monday Night Football. I get it, but it's just like
a big grump.
North Dakota strong. Oh, so you define North Dakota strong as a sexy catchphrase? No, it's not sticking with me.
And then he's saying he wants to be Danielle Hunter. Like he says crazy stuff.
You know why
he's
like
becoming the John Madden?
Turkey hole is different.
I love John Madden.
Turkey hole's fine.
Like, turkey hole is great. Again, this sport is a mystery, even to the people like us that cover it for a living. And who knew turkey hole before John Gruden started yelling about it? And then it's like, now you know some more internal lingo behind the scenes. I'm in.
I'm not grumpy about this game. My big winner, the parabolic mic guy. He got some great sound. I'll tell you, these games that are at 10 a.m. on the West Coast on CBS are a litany of like two camera setups where you're not even close to the field. I love the way these games are produced. There's 80 cameras, and the parabolic mic guy caught Stafford shouting out Mariota, Mariota before snaps, which I thought that was super cool. And my one thing is, if you're going to pay billions of dollars to produce these games, why is every game on Sunday not looking just as beautiful as Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football? What is the issue? Go
budget.
Out and get you have the budget in theory. This is your number one product. It's the highest rated thing on TV. Get an extra 10, 12 cameras and make it beautiful.
Manpower. It's one game.
I'm just saying. This is your blue ribbon product. Get it done.
They also do have, I don't want to get on your point.
They have parabolic mics. I'm saying it's also, it looks like a high school game, some of these CBS early shows. It does.
What an attack this is.
It doesn't make any sense.
Go watch 12 hours of Game Pass where it's like you couldn't be farther from the field over and over.
The Lions are one team that did take advantage. We mentioned McCarthy didn't do anything coming out of the bye. They put up almost 500 yards. They have looked like a different offense coming out of their bye. And they've got an easy schedule coming up, including your Browns this week. And I think the Lions got a chance. I think they have a chance to be a little relevant, and Stafford and Tate are about as entertaining as it gets.
Marvin Jones.
Like watching this team. I think they're a fun team to watch.
Yeah, they are. How about Golden Tate's catch on the sideline? His footwork was amazing.
And yet they will fatally fall apart at
some point. They will. But
I
think
they're a little soft still. And like that for that first and goal, and they don't know how to punch a ball in. Like they don't really have all the pieces to be maybe a deep January team, but they
are fun.
They're a little better. They're going to finish ahead of the Packers. We're going to have a different division winner, whether it's the Lions or the Vikings this year. And, you know, that brings me to a point of Sunday Night Football coming up in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really gotten on my radar here that we need to, as a group, and our listeners need to do something as a group to stand up and do something about it.
Oh, tell us more, Greg.
Yeah.
Not really on my radar. It's more something that I feel I think it was Hans Christian Andersen that once said,
"Ooh, hello.
Be the change."
Our producer?
There we go. That you want to see in the world. We can change the Sunday Night Football matchup in 2 weeks. Right now, it's Packers Steelers, and the NFL will tell you, well, that game's still going to get good ratings. Sometimes the health of the sport and the entertainment of your fans is more important than ratings. The Saints and the Rams are playing that Sunday night. These two teams, that's 2017 football in a nutshell. Saints, Rams, we can change
how
tell your congressman.
Happy election day.
Mr. Politician, one question. Yes. What is it that you're actually going to do to change it?
I am going to pressure the NFL.
Have the power, Mark.
I just want your action steps versus assuming this alone is going to make it happen.
If the congressman doesn't work, you tweet at the NFL with the hashtag FlexNola. That's N-O-L-A. I was thinking of going no pack no, but that seemed negative. Maybe the NFL won't listen to that.
They're not going to listen either way. But
they're
going
to listen. Flex Nola. Throw it in your hashtag at the NFL. This is the movement.
I'm with you. Anytime you can improve that Sunday night game that we are here for until roughly 2 in the morning, I will happily do it.
Resist the Packers.
Take them down.
Hashtag Flex Nola. Love it. It just makes sense, people. Make it happen. Let's do some news. All right. Here we go. Jameis Winston is going to miss multiple weeks for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have decided to shut down their quarterback. Dirk Cutter told reporters on Monday, this coming after that disaster against NOLA on Sunday. Winston left the game at halftime after aggravating the shoulder injury. He hurt it a month ago. So Winston's out for the next few weeks. This is a 2-6 team. Also, no Mike Evans, who's now been suspended for that cheap shot against Lattimore of the Saints when Winston, of course, was involved. He kind of started it, and then Evans ended it. He somehow was not kicked out of the game, but he will be suspended. He is appealing that suspension. So a great, great season for the Hard Knocks squad this year.
Yeah, I mean, look at the way that this offense now, the offense, the defense, the entire team has been just falling apart. And you know who they're playing next week, Dan?
Who?
Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be playing the Jets.
Of course I know that.
Oh.
Yes.
Pretty great.
Save him for Thursday. But yes, I'm very excited for a little. It cannot be deemed a Fitzmagic revenge game because the Jets paid him $12 million.
Yeah, I keep hearing that on Twitter. It's like, what is your upset? Why are you upset with this employer that just paid you a bathtub full of money?
Yeah. By the way, did you guys see, before we move on, forget about the Bucks. I don't want to talk about the Bucks anymore. But unless you guys want, is anybody like hot about the Bucks?
I think we've our piece on this team.
Yeah.
Very annoying. But did anybody see Jameis Winston's pregame speech?
I think we all did. Everybody did.
Yeah. Society did.
Right.
Just listen in on this and watch this on the video show.
After I say one thing, I want everybody to look at me. I'm going to pass it to coin after I say one thing.
Let's go.
Oh, God.
That's a W. That's E1. That's E1. That's a W. How many people want to eat a W tonight?
Yeah.
How many
want to
eat a W tonight?
Yeah. Come in. Face in the background.
Deshaun Jackson.
Good.
Yeah, D-Jax looks completely lost. The other thing that didn't make sense to me, and yes, everyone's seen it. If you haven't seen it, pause the podcast and check it out now. The way it starts, so he creates the W in his mouth and then says, let's eat the W. That's what I'm trying to, why doesn't it work? There's a lot of reasons why it doesn't work, but he's like, he puts his fingers in his mouth and then comes out with the W hand gesture and then says, let's eat the W. That was weird.
How about this? Half the people in that circle can't see what he's doing. So you've already lost the hand gesture that didn't make sense, even if you can see it.
Well, I think, in general, just sticking your hand in your mouth and it is not a way to inspire people. It's always going to be a little silly. Hey, I'm eating.
He's a little silly.
Go ahead. No, please.
No, not
please do it,
right.
Greg. He almost did it.
Oh, that was.
No. See, how'd you tell him to do it? Does it bother you, Greg? I know you've been on the Winston train. Team Trev train is off the tracks. Winston train, not quite off
bad
the
season.
Tracks, but this has not been a good look for him.
He's 23 years old. He's going to have ups and downs. He's definitely, he's not like he's Peyton Manning or Tom Brady going to have that kind of career. I still think he's going to be great.
Did that speech like spook you at all?
No.
A little bit, though. Just a tiny bit. Like
spook?
A little bit. He spooked a little bit by it.
I think he's kind of a wacky guy. We like we see that he's really into the motivation stuff.
They can't all be winners.
Exactly.
It's like, I think he's probably spent the night like thinking, oh, this is going to be good. This is going to go over well with my teammates. I'm Jameis Winston. And then it fell utterly flat.
Yeah.
Moving on, more quarterback news, this involving the Minnesota Vikings. They will be activating Teddy Bridgewater to the 53-man roster this week. But the team is now talking about the possibility that Sam Bradford will be placed on injured reserve. This, according to team sources, ESPN reported it. First, a final decision has not yet been made, but Bradford was not in the facility on Tuesday. But he did, or he is meeting with Dr. James Andrews, never good news, to further examine that injured left knee. And Colleen, this is one of those weird things because he played so well in Monday Night Football in week one. And then we learned as that week progressed that he had the bad knee. He came back a few weeks later, didn't re-injure it, but played so poorly.
He
was clear
like
he wasn't
was
right. And now they're talking about IR, and it just makes you think that this is something, a serious injury that there might not be a cure for, and that would be obviously a worst-case scenario.
Yeah, and if they put him on IR, then he has to be there for 8 weeks. So he's going to end
he's
up
done.
Missing the rest of the season, but his contract is up at the end of the season. So is that really the best thing for them to do? I mean,
I don't know about the rest of his career. I mean, this sounds like something that's a degenerative knee condition that there's not an easy solution to, and they're trying to avoid surgery. But I think it's safe. I think it's fair to say that Sam Bradford is worried about his future.
He should
football.
Be.
Yeah, I don't think that the future with the Vikings is really relevant at this point. I don't think they see him as anything beyond the patch he was.
Not tragic, but it's just such a sad thing for Sam Bradford in terms of luck that literally the best performance of his career preceded
so good.
This. That was it. The best performance of Sam Bradford's career was followed up days later by this injury popping up.
And arguably,
like we were so excited.
Arguably the only memorable performance of his career, and it's not a knock on, I mean, I guess it is, but it's like Sam Bradford, a workmanlike quarterback who won some games. I can't remember any of them. Other than a tie, I think he was in with the Niners when the Niners were still good. But that opener was the best thing he's produced.
He's had a weird career. He was a former number one overall pick and was a disappointment. And then last year, I think he set the record for completion percentage. And
year,
the season started so well. And to your point, Greg,
I think they'd have a chance. If you had 2016 Sam Bradford on this team, they could be a Super Bowl contender.
Well, that's not going to happen. Moving on, Josh Gordon is back in the NFL. The Browns announced Monday that their long-lost wideout will report to the team on Tuesday to meet with officials from the organization following his reinstatement. The NFL announced last Wednesday Gordon was reinstated on a conditional basis by Rog with the ability to, quote, join the Browns to attend team meetings, engage in conditioning work, and individual workouts. The earliest he could return is Week 13 against the Chargers. Mark, what do you take out of this?
I mean, if you're watching the video version of this show, they just showed a highlight of him catching deep strikes from Jason Campbell. That's how long it's been since he's been really relevant in the NFL. And honestly, the story that came out yesterday from GQ where he talked about
crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really kind of rooting for Josh Gordon, not from a Browns angle at all, but he talked about the fact he has a 2-year-old daughter now and that he, before all this, that he played almost every game he can ever remember, either, you know, having been slightly drunk or high or a combination
before
of the two.
Before the games.
Before the games.
NFL and college.
And he pointed out, and I think he's absolutely right about this, that he's not alone, that there are other players doing
that. A bunch of guys smoke weed before the game.
And I think that he probably feels like all along that he's been singled out, but he's also, you know, and he acknowledges in the piece too, he made tons of mistakes. He never really took, I guess, his sobriety seriously on any level. And he is the guy that made the decision to go back into rehab last October. And so the point is, you hope that whole thing is progress in his life. The football version of Josh Gordon, I think it's fair to say, I wouldn't say anyone should rely on anything until we see it. It just simply, it doesn't matter until it happens.
Who knows.
Yeah, I thought from that GQ piece, it was really interesting about him talking about how he had something in his system for every single game. He would take shots maybe before a game. Mm-hmm. He would drink like half a glass of alcohol, take a giant bong rip, Rip, like,
wouldn't people smell that on him?
But well, so they let them out. Conceals the smell on his clothing.
Like they're even if you're a home game, you stay in a team hotel, and then they release you back to your residence for 2-3 hours or whatever, and you come back. And he would go home and do it, not at the hotel, and he'd clean himself up, you know, smell wise, I guess, before he got back.
But he said that every time he went to rehab before this last time, he was doing it for other people, or he was doing it for the wrong reasons. He was doing it because, you know, he wanted to play football again, or he was doing it for his coaches or his teammates or, you know, his family. But this time he was doing it for himself because he actually thought that he was going to end up killing himself. And
crazy.
So, you know, you just hope that he can really get himself back on track this time.
Addiction, man. It's no joke. All right. Finally in the news. Hey, good news for a wide receiver, another wide receiver of the Steelers, Juju Smith-Schuster. Got his driver's license.
He doesn't have to ride his bike?
Don't need the bike no more. Although I think he should stick with the bike because he's getting a lot of juice off the bike. If he goes to car now, he won't nearly have the
You're just a normal civilian, right?
Right.
That was the whole thing.
I mean, I feel like if we were covering high school football, like a player getting their driver's license would be a big news update. It's a little strange to be discussing this for an NFL player, but
Mark,
to each his own.
You told a good story in our pre-prod meeting, which is not to be confused with our coffee and Danish meeting ahead of the fork segment.
So many meetings.
Your first experience with a license did not go too well.
No, well, I mean,
famously a terrible driver, Mark.
I am a terrible driver. I don't even really drive at this point to begin with. But this was like ages ago, and it was a snowy morning when I had to take the written and driven version of my driver's test, which I was petrified because you had to get 12 out of 16 right to advance onto the driving side. I got 12 right on the nose at some computerized program, and then I had to drive around Danbury, Connecticut, which I'd never driven in my life, basically. It was like busy streets and crazy ambulances with this like guy, probably barely passed
Danbury
that version
life.
Of it. Barely passed that. And then on the way home, my dad was like very proud. He said, you know, great job. He's like, why don't you drive home from here? And I thought, okay. And it was like slick, snowy streets. About 10 minutes into this, like
slick, snowy streets.
Into this windy.
Hey, dad, come back to us.
Well, no, he was, you know, it's like you're a guy now. You have a driver's license. Why would dad drive you home? I totally get the point of view. I got into a fender bender in the middle of nowhere with this car that had been parked for like 20 yards. Somehow I hit it. And then my dad drove home the rest of the way, and I thought, this was an epic disaster. And I didn't really drive again. I didn't want to tell my friends that I had the license because I was a little older than a lot of people my grade. So I was one of the first people to get a car. But it's like, I'm not going to play carpool guy every weekend.
That was the downside if you got the license. I didn't either, but I had a friend who got his license earlier, and we just
always getting banged. Yeah. Car.
Although it's less of a deal for that guy because he's not just hitting parked cars all over the place.
Here's one of my favorite Mark Sessler car-related fun facts. Mark, we've known each other for over 7 years now. We've worked together for 7 years. Mm-hmm. I have been in a car fewer times with you driving than the number of accidents you've been in that time.
Wow.
2-1.
I've taken myself off the road. I'm just not a good driver, and I'm okay with that. I think I drove you 4 blocks to a car repair shop to get your car.
That's it?
Yeah.
No. Was that it?
Yeah.
Yes, that's it.
I handled that task
time.
Correctly.
You nailed
There's
that.
No issues with that one.
All right. That's what's happening. Oh, so congratulations, Juju. That's what's happening in the news. All right. It's time. Oh, hop on those shoulders.
Uh-oh.
Because we're going to find out who's got the shoulders of greatness. Presented by Head & Shoulders, our Thursday night preview. And this is a NFC West matchup between the Arizona Cardinals and Seattle Seahawks in Glendale, Arizona. Is it Glendale? Yeah.
Correct.
Nailed it. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on this game, Greg Rosenthal.
Well, this is the game where we can maybe put the Cardinals to rest, and they'll be talked about in a little bit. One of many 4-4 teams in the NFL, which you just don't take seriously, which is how I view them with Drew Stanton. Now, they do have Adrian Peterson running pretty well. It's like depends on the week whether you believe in him or not. But I don't know. I have a hard time seeing them putting the ball into the end zone against the Seahawks.
I feel like it's a little bit of a trap gamey scenario for Seattle because it's in Arizona, and I could see these games are always strange.
Sure, this has been a good rivalry the last 5 years.
It has, and it's the two best teams in November since 2013, and that includes some bad Cardinals teams that, you know, kind of rose up during that month. So I don't know. I think the thing is, the key is stopping Russell Wilson. No quarterback in the league is being leaned on harder through the air. It's like really the only type of offense they have right now, or him on the ground.
Got the running game going a little late in that game.
Yeah, but most of it was him.
I would say I think they maybe found a little something late in that game Pete Carroll could feel good about with Thomas Rawls, that maybe Eddie Lacy getting hurt proves that Michael Lombardi phrase that sometimes you're one injury away from getting better. And I think that could be it.
And we were just watching on the video show all the highlights from Adrian Peterson, who he had 37 carries in this game. That's a career high for him. So I'm wondering if he...
5 days later, yeah.
I mean, yeah, like the recovery standpoint there on a short week with all of that volume. But also, the Cardinals front seven played a really good game last week. And you're going up against a bad offensive line again with Seattle. So, like, Carlos Dansby was awesome in this game. Yeah, so that's going to be a tough one for Russell Wilson.
They're talented enough, unlike the Packers. Like, I've been waiting for this Cardinals defense to be a little better this year. Like, they're more talented than the Packers in terms of maybe the defense could carry a poor quarterback.
The Redskins held the Seahawks without points on the first drive, 10 drives last game. Then the floodgates open. But I do think that you can game plan and stop this offense, and we've seen it multiple weeks for quarters at a time with Seattle.
Drew Stanton was okay in the start last week, and he'll probably have to be a little better than okay to beat the Seahawks. But Earl Thomas is still a question mark. He missed that game. We saw how vulnerable the secondary is there, their inability to get a stop at the end of the game against the Redskins. So that will make a major difference, and you would think – on a short week, and the last thing the Seahawks want to do is have Earl Thomas re-aggravate a hamstring injury, that maybe they give him another week. We'll see, but that would be a big difference in this game too.
Dwayne Brown really helped the Seahawks. I mean, the rest of the line struggled, but he played well. Now he's going up against Chandler Jones. Like, I think he's going to make a difference for this.
He's
got some great shoulders, Dwayne.
Solid. They had 14 pass, I think, in that Redskins game. They have got to. They cannot do that every week.
Right. They have a guy on their team, Jermaine Ifedi, I believe, has 4 more penalties than any other offensive lineman in the league.
Bad like shoulders?
At some point, I don't know, you got to do something. You got to take him out, or you got to do something.
Blair Walsh is also, he will be the kicker for the Seahawks. Connie Fox just said he had bad shoulders. Seemed a little bit of a cheap shot, but...
Bad shoulders.
No.
Grievous field goals. I thought that'd be all over your radar.
Yeah, no, it is. It's all over my radar, but he needs to have a good game or they're going to get rid
of him. Well, this is the rematch of one of the most famous games of last year, which had some key
wild field goals.
Yep.
It's true.
I hope it's not like that again.
That's true. All right. There is your Thursday night football preview. The shoulders of Grievous. Was that head and shoulders?
That's more than head and shoulders was expecting.
Hey, guys. They say in life there are no guarantees.
Yeah.
They say there's no sure thing. Well, I'm here to tell you there might just be one exception. It's Husky.
Got that right.
Home Depot Husky Tools. In 1924, Husky started making things for people who make things. And they did it with common sense. That meant adding function, never frills, and making tools that stood the tests of time. 93 years later, Husky is still making quality crafted, durable tools. And Husky stands by their hand tools for life.
They should.
So they gave them a lifetime warranty.
Wow.
Like the Husky Ratchet with a 100 position ratcheting design and 10% longer handle that standard ratchets to do what other ratchets can't.
You're really into that ratchet, huh?
Or the virtually unbreakable Husky Flashlight with the ability to withstand a 30-foot drop and work in up to 1 meter of water submersion. If we're talking water damage, do they go to the meter system? I'm confused.
Maybe.
That's a good question.
What's up with this ad copy, Fulton?
People don't use meter in this country.
Why are we not using feet?
I don't know. I didn't make it. Just like you always say every time someone criticizes you about the copy, I just read what's told.
Oh, yes.
I just print what's sent.
Fulton. My question for you is we need to get in touch with the Husky people to see if they have abandoned the measurement that we use in this country.
I'm on top of it.
You think Husky is going to care at all? They're so self-confident in their product and in their delivery that they're not going to change a thing.
I mean, maybe
based on our complaints.
Maybe they are trying to be the change that you want in the world. Because our system's terrible. Got to get rid of it.
Whoa.
Let's go metric.
Hold on to that hot take. Save it for the metric podcast, Greg. Learn more at www.huskytools.com. Husky, common sense tools since 1924 with hand tools guaranteed for a lifetime. Mm. Found only at the Home Depot. All right.
We'll say look, 1 week ago, Greg tried to take all the males down and Colleen with them in this room about the fact that none of us have the brawn or the wherewithal to use any sort of a hand tool, that we need to hire another
still
male.
Still waiting
to
for
that
sign to be put up in this room.
That's
the proof.
But Dan, that stood on Dan's radar, to the fact that we've had multiple discussions and it's gotten a little testy at times about this.
I will say Dan read that copy better than the other three podcasts that I've heard over the last few weeks that had the same copy. So I really liked it.
Good
Greg
job,
deflecting.
Dan.
It came out that Greg doesn't own a toolbox.
What?
Maybe we have some tools. I don't think there's a whole box.
Wow.
I'll leave it there. All right, here we go. Let's move on. It is time, ladies and gentlemen. We should get in touch with your lovely wife. Maybe you should use a toolbox. A man should have a toolbox.
Yeah, you can borrow mine if you want.
She does. You know, we rent. First of all, and then second of all, she really takes care of.
You still need tools if you have
you're
a rental.
Renting.
No, she's
renting
he's saying
house.
He rents a house.
No, I was gonna say you rent tools. That seems overly complex.
No,
but there's still upkeep for a house. That's where I get surprised.
Don't you hang stuff on the wall or like fix things that are falling?
We've tried.
Apart?
You're not gonna get anywhere with this.
Okay. She mostly takes care of that sort of thing. But
Greg, I appreciate
really.
Your confidence in your manhood. It's okay if the wife handles it. You're just I don't need to do it. You're saying that's good.
She's better at it.
Let's move on. It is time, yes. Finally, at long last, let's stick a fork in some teams.
Stick a fork in them.
Stupid. So stupid. All right. So now, if you're new to the show, newest to the show, we need to give a little background what the Stick a Fork in them series is. It's respectful, but it's also we keep it real. We keep it real. I know it's only week 9, going into week 10 now, but the hard truth is only, Greg, 12 teams make the playoffs.
That's right.
And that means 20 teams, 20? 30 minutes. 20 teams. Yes, 20 teams will be outside in the cold, and let's be honest, at least half those teams they're already dead in the water before we get to the second half of the season. That's what we're going to talk about today. We've been doing it for a few years now. And last year, how did we do last year? Do you remember? We decided right around this time last season, we sent about 8 to 10 teams, I think, to the meat grinder. Did we get burned last year?
Yeah, the Texans, I believe, definitely burned us. I would say if you're a fan of any of the teams that we fork, if you choose to not lose total hope, there are facts to back that up because every single year we have a team or two that we get wrong. I think there was 1 year where we played it
2 years ago. I think
fairly
we got it right.
Safe, and you guys were very angry about that.
Well, because you need to go out on a limb at some point. You can't wait till Christmas Eve to decide that a team that has 4 wins isn't making the playoffs.
True.
Okay,
right.
You know, come on.
But it's supposed to be the official end of their season, and we're wrong. Every year.
Yeah, no one from these teams or their fan base should be concerned at all about our ruling today.
You should be concerned because that means you're not having a great season, but it doesn't mean to give up hope. You know what I mean? I mean, it just, you don't want to be brought up in this conversation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But don't be so sensitive.
Yeah, calm down. And one last note, if we do get a team wrong, we will make a charitable donation. We promise to the city where that team plays. And I thought just because Colleen has over 3 shows, and then, although we haven't had these discussions, probably makes more money than us. Colleen
for sure.
Will
I don't know.
Be
I'm
making,
a woman, so
well,
sorry.
That's a sad truth as well. But we're still going to go with you, Colleen. Colleen will make a charitable donation this year.
I'm just me?
On top
you guys
of it,
have volunteered
on top
me?
Of it being a sad truth that she's female, I didn't quite track that comment either. But
females make less
pay.
Money.
Oh,
right.
Well,
Mark,
no, Colleen is making more than probably the 3 of us combined.
I don't know.
That's fantastic. Good for her.
So thank you, Colleen, for all this. Now, how do we decide?
It's okay, Colleen. No one ever actually follows through with this. It's
I'll make a donation.
Empty promise we have.
Mark, now this is when we discuss how we get to this. We decide. We have to get together. And how do we do it? We meet first thing in the morning. I'm talking 5 a.m.
Early.
We beat the Roosters to this conference room at a local Holiday Inn. There's Danish, coffee.
Holiday Inn.
Give me tater tots.
A Jewish delicacy, Greg. Famous one.
Lox.
Lox. We get some lox there.
Knish, maybe a little knish.
A little knish, you know, and we get together. Did I say coffee?
You said coffee.
You did. Yeah. Yes.
A little orange juice, and away we go. And we decide which teams get forked. And what we did today, in the service of saving some time, there are seven teams that we all decided over Danish, Greg, that were don't even get the
You don't even discussion. Get the enjoyment of hearing us talk about your team. That's the problem.
Yeah.
No, you're not. Yeah, it's just we all unanimously agree.
I mean, it's we're not breaking any news here that the 49ers
and the Browns.
Right, it's self-evident that some of these teams don't need a lot of chatter.
Here are we call this the damned seven.
Ooh.
The Cleveland Browns, the San Francisco 49ers, the New York Giants, the G-Men, the Indianapolis Colts, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Houston Texans, Chicago Bears.
So it's like kind of a brogue that you have, but not
what
really.
What is happening there?
Kind of.
Who would have thought that the Texans and Bucks don't even merit a discussion? But
I was,
we're sorry.
As I read it, I was surprised. Yeah. But that we all 2-6, they're starting quarterbacks out for a few weeks. I mean, been a bad year.
Yeah. There's no hope for the Bucks and the Texans. You were potentially a Super Bowl contender if J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson were still playing, but they're not. Tom Savage is not saving your season. Although that's what we said about
Sad.
Brock Osweiler at this point last
yes,
year.
Yes, we got them absolutely incorrect last year.
Tom Savage may be real, but the playoff chances for his team, not real.
Tom they're not.
Vastly less real.
Bears fans could make a case that we're short-circuiting them a little. They're feisty. They've got a defense. Crazier things have happened. But
in their hearts, they know we're right.
But when you're 3-5, you basically got to go 6 or 7 out of 8 down the stretch. I don't think the Bears are doing that.
Now, part two of this exercise, we're going to each nominate two teams for discussion, general discussion. Again, to be forked, it has to be unanimous forking to fork this right. So, Mark, get us going. Nominate a team.
All right. I'm going to nominate a team that should have been, I think, in the damned 8 if we had not had damned 7, and that is the Cincinnati Bengals.
They didn't have
Bengals.
The same ring, you know?
Doesn't have the same ring. Neither does this team does not have a playoff ring. They don't have anything in their books and that I enjoy at all. They're hard to watch. The offense of the Bengals is putrid. The defense has a little bit going on, but that what does that mean when your team is getting when Andy Dalton is getting taken to the turf 14 times a game?
Didn't have anything going on in Jacksonville.
I'm telling you,
sure.
This team could have been forked 3 weeks ago. They're on my radar all season long, and they're out of my life now. It should have happened a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I didn't believe in them before the season. You're gone, Bengals. You're out.
Well, they're not out.
Compelling.
You're
argument.
Nominating them to be.
I will down. Lose trust for anyone that fights for this team.
All right, let's talk about it. Does anyone?
Well, Marvin Lewis is an idiot.
Well, I'm tempted to just for the value of seeing what happens to Mark if I.
I mean,
go for
good
that.
Point.
I mean, I'll live, but that's also not treating the segment with any sort of dignity.
Well, Greg's used to doing that.
Look, I created this segment, so I can make any rules I want on it.
Here we go.
I'm saying
that was on a different platform.
I know it's like
no, but I did it here too.
Okay, really what else? All right, here
so
we
I'm
go.
Saying the idea was you're saying the season is totally over, and could the Bengals rally? They do have some talent. Probably not, but
well,
crazier things have happened.
So you're gonna keep.
So what
alive.
Are you saying?
Outside of making it very clear that you created the
Please
segment, what
well,
else
just,
do you have to offer on the Bengals?
I'm just saying. Yeah, I guess I'll keep him. I'll keep him alive.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Dan's begging me to. It really wasn't going to.
Okay.
Do
well,
not.
Well, no. If you don't believe in it, don't keep him alive.
Yeah. If you do, I just want you to actually believe it. Not
Are
just
cratering under Dan's peer
thing.
Pressure right now, Greg.
No, Greg created
the
game,
schedule.
So no one will affect him.
I'm just saying
my game.
I'm not saying that.
I'm Greg.
You're saying if anyone,
you're lucky. I'm letting you even use the wording of this game.
I have the fork
on two platforms.
Go ahead.
Greg? Go ahead with what?
Are you going to fork him or not? No. Yes.
No. We can fork him.
Okay.
Fork him.
Fork him.
Fork him.
Stick a fork in him.
I think that might affect also a Greg sandwich bet, if I recall.
Uh-oh.
I'm not sure.
Well, I'm not sure. I rewatching the Bengals game yesterday. They are so lifeless.
You pointed one great thing out.
When they kneel on the ball to end the game when you're losing, how am I supposed to think that you got some fighting?
Great point.
They still can't get Joe Mixon going. It's like I don't get
the
offense.
Colleen, you're up.
All right, I'm gonna go with the Dolphins in this one.
You have to nominate them.
I'm nominating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that okay,
I'm
Greg?
Going
that,
with
that's
my.
How we do
that's
that?
Fine. That's fine.
Following protocol, yeah. Greg. This is up to standards. Okay, cool. I'm nominating the Dolphins.
And a little salty, and everybody a little salty today. I like it.
they're coming off their best offensive performance of the year, but pay no mind to that at all. The offense is still on pace to be the worst offense statistically in team history. They're last in so many different categories: points per game, yards per play, big plays, offensive touchdowns. I mean, this team it stinks. There's nothing that makes me optimistic when I'm watching them. And they get rid of Jay Ajayi, and I know that their two backs, they did okay, and they looked good, but I cannot get behind this team.
Last year,
especially in that division.
Last year, I saved us from making a charitable donation to the city of Miami. A real hero move by me.
Wow.
Because the Dolphins are nominated this time last year, and I said, no, let's give it a few weeks. And I feel the same way about this Dolphins team. Do I believe in Jay Cutler? No. But do I believe in the AFC, especially the back end of the AFC? Not at all. So if the Dolphins at 4-4 right now, they're the seventh seed right now. If the season ended today, they wouldn't make the playoffs, but they're right outside the playoffs.
This is saying they have no hope whatsoever of making the playoffs.
Can I say they have no chance? I can't say that. So we could
play it safe with all the teams. How about we do that?
Well, I like that response. I like that attitude. There's only four teams in the AFC that even have 5+ wins right now.
I do remember one year where I think I tried to kill the segment by saying, let's fork everyone, and it worked. Three teams came back to get at us, but I guess it didn't kill the segment.
Well, we have three straight primetime games to watch the Dolphins, so lucky us.
Another one. They're in Carolina Monday night.
I'm blocking this fork, but am I alone? Do you got Greg and Mark?
Just because of the AFC thing, one of these weird, crappy teams is going to make some sort of a run, and the Dolphins did it last year.
They were just as lost this time last year.
So I would think the Bengals, to me, would be more likely to make a run than the Dolphins of all teams.
Too late.
So I would go with the Bengals. So I would fork them, I'm saying, by that logic. Bengals are gone.
But two out of four is not going to get it done. I'm sorry, Colleen. Do not take it out on us personally.
Okay.
With any,
you can have the Dolphins.
I think the 31st best team in the league, according to Football Outsiders, before last week, which they weren't too bad. That might have been one of their better games.
Mm. All right. I will nominate a team now, and I'm going to go big, go home situation. Go big or go home, they say.
Right.
I ain't going home. I'm going big. So I'm going to nominate the defending NFC champion Atlanta Falcons. Now, they, like the Dolphins, are 4-4. They are eighth seed right now. One game out of the playoffs. All that checks out. So I'm basing this more on just what I've seen from this team. And this team, to me, doesn't have it. Whatever it is, I don't think this team has it. I think the offense is legitimately lost, and I think there'll be changes in the leadership after the season. I don't think it's something that gets fixed. I don't think the Falcons are going to the playoffs, so I see them as a 500 team that they'll continue to scuffle and disappoint and put up 20-point games, and I don't think they're going to find it in the second half. That's why I nominate them, and I understand if it's going to get blocked here, but I'm just going to put it out there now that I think I've seen enough of Atlanta to say this ain't their year.
You have my vote, because it's not just that they don't seem to have it. So many other teams in the NFC right now are starting to get their sea legs under them. I think the Falcons I could see them as an 8-8 team that misses the party. And I know it's a little bit edgy. They're 4-4, but yes, you have my vote.
The schedule is a strong case against them because they have the Cowboys, the Seahawks, they have the Saints twice. They've had the easier part of their schedule already. They have the Panthers coming up too again, and the Vikings. That's a lot of the top teams, basically all the teams in front of them. You could look at it like they're in trouble. Then again, they at least can take out the teams in front of them. They've played too well for me to discount them. I definitely will keep them alive.
Okay.
I wouldn't block them. I'm with you on it.
You would block them.
I would not. I would fork them.
Okay.
Yeah.
You would fork.
I would fork them. I'm with you on this.
I mean, we have zero predictive value in general, but this was the team we thought maybe has the best roster in the entire NFL going into the season. We talked about on this podcast, and they're 4-4.
Even their wins haven't been good, though. I mean, you look at the win over the Jets. That wasn't convincing. And they barely beat the Bears, right?
They've been bad at home. They
looked so shook against the Patriots.
Disappointing. Greg, you're going to keep them alive. Let's see if you save us or if we're left smarting.
I'll keep them alive. Luck is the most important factor in a team's schedule. They get a little lucky. They can make a run.
All right. Greg, nominate somebody.
I will nominate, and I know because you're sitting to my left, Dan, this will be tough. But in Mark's idea of being a little bolder in predicting, I'm going to nominate the New York Jets.
Oh, dude.
They've been a nice story, but people making a case that, oh, they've been playing pretty well. They've lost 3 out of 4. They, unlike almost anyone that we're bringing up, has 5 losses. So they essentially have to run the table, saving 1 loss. Maybe 9 wins gets you in. They probably have to go 6 out of 7. I'm saying they got to go 6 out of 7. They're not a good team. They're a team that plays hard, but they do nothing well in particular. There's a reason that they're buried on the Football Outsiders efficiency, you know, in the final 7 or 8 teams, because they're a team that's mostly playing over their heads. And if they play to their best ability, I think they can get to 8 wins. And so that's not enough. I don't think they have any chance of winning 6 out of 7 games down the stretch when you have, what do you have, the Patriots?
Well, the schedule's rough.
You have the Patriots twice. You have some possible wins, but you have the Patriots twice. You have the Chiefs.
No, you have the Patriots once.
Oh, that's
and they already barely, they should have beaten the Patriots in that game if it weren't for the officials.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it could have been.
What? I'm just saying.
Okay. Oh, yeah, they would have been a lock to win the game if they closed the
game
to 3.
But I'm saying that they played the Patriots tougher than anyone expected. They play the Bucs this week. They can get to 5-5. Not a human being on the planet.
But the Bucs game proves my point, I think, which is that would anyone really be that surprised if the Jets lost to the Bucs? Is any game a lock?
I wouldn't be surprised if almost any team outside of 3 teams loses to anyone. NFL season.
To me, their best case scenario is about 8-8, so I would feel totally confident in forking them.
These are the teams that are ahead of the Jets right now. The Raiders 4-5, the Ravens 4-5. The Dolphins 4-4. So it's like, it's not like
having those teams are all out of the playoffs. You need to pass them and then get into the playoffs.
All right. Well, that's obviously a good point. But okay, you have the Titans. They're a division leader. You have the Jaguars at 5-3.
I'm not worried about the other team. I'm worried about the Jets. I don't think the Jets are good enough.
Well, you just asked me to bring up the teams that were in the.
Right. I'm just saying they're not going to pass teams because they're not going to win enough games.
All right. That's fair. I'm obviously going to block you, but not because I'm a homer and because I don't believe in really 90% of the teams in the league. So anytime you look at the schedule, it looks like a tough schedule, but it's like, we'll see. We'll see what happens down the stretch
of
this game.
It's the same way that Mark was betting against the Bengals. To me, they both have 5 losses. You just think they're not a very good team.
I think the Jets are a better team than the Bengals. Let's start there. And if the AFC could easily send an 8-win team into the wild card round. And the Jets, and I know you can look at all the metrics and they're not wrong and all that stuff, but it's like everyone had them losing to the Bills on Thursday night. And they wax the Bills, a team that we've been called beautifully coached and playing above their heads. The Jets take them out.
If they play like that the rest of the season, they have a chance. That was the anomaly. That was by far their best game of the season, and we'll see if they build on it.
Put it this way. I'm not with you, Greg, but if they do go to Tampa and lay an egg against Ryan Fitzpatrick,
Then you're
it's a team on paper that shouldn't be doing what it's doing right now, but it does it every week. It's surprising. And I think you tweeted about it, Dan. You said that they're a really good bad team.
They are.
And that's so true when you watch them.
It's a weird year. All right, one more time. We got to kind of move. Colleen has her meeting.
I have a meeting I got to go to.
Go ahead, Mark.
I will go Ravens. And look at the Ravens.
You will what?
I will nominate the Baltimore Ravens. And it's not just that I'm trying to eliminate the entire AFC North, but the Ravens to me have an unwatchable, unfixable offense. The one concern is in 2012 they looked about this bad at points and then suddenly became a Super Bowl team. I just don't see that with this. I like their defense in every other game basically, but the Ravens to me get left out of this party. Their offense is going to sink them.
I like what you're going for here, Mark. Cincinnati and Baltimore. you want all the teams in the AFC North to be as forked as the Cleveland Browns. That's what this is about. Is
well, the Browns are forked by like Halloween every single year that I work here, so I could care less about.
But your
that
point
dynamic.
Being is that it's a terrible division.
It's an overrated division, and if you just started fresh with football this year, people would not think highly of the Ravens the way that they do because of what they've done in the past, which
right.
is fair.
Yeah. Let's go around. Colleen, your thoughts on
fork them. I can't stand the offense. It's so boring to watch. They can't get anything done.
This team is not playing in the second week of January. It's not happening. I'm forking them.
I'll keep them alive.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they're the Ravens. They have a defense. They have something going for them. Why not?
Is that another shot at Mark?
No.
No, I think they have a good defense, too, but I mean, they're not a playoff team in my book.
Like, well, that's the point is we're always looking backwards. We have no clue what's going to happen forward.
And what's the point of this exercise?
No, I know, but the Ravens the Ravens are a team
logic.
That has showed many times that they can improve throughout the season, that they have a good coaching staff, that they have a defense. They have something going for them. They would need to get lucky in a really bad AFC. It's the same reason why Dan is keeping the Jets alive. To me, to say that the Ravens would have no chance to make a little bit of a run from 4-5, the same record as the Jets,
I don't think the Jets. Here's the difference. Since you brought up the Jets, may not do anything extremely well, but they do a lot of things proficiently, and that's why they've been able to hang in all these games.
Like what?
Play defense, score points.
They've been a below average defense for the season. Average.
No, what I'm saying is,
well, Greg's kind of the expert here.
I know.
I'm saying the Ravens
Why don't you do this segment by yourself, Greg?
No, I'm saying the Ravens have a nice defense. They have a top
what
five.
And
they have.
Defense.
You're not letting me finish my point.
Right.
The Ravens have one of the worst offenses in football.
Right.
And to me, that's enough for me to say they're just not going to win games because they're not going to score enough points. They have a dreadful offense, and their quarterback and their lack of playmakers, to me, that's a death knell for them.
The one concern I'd have, and I'm forking him still, their schedule is a little light.
Right. That's the only difference.
But the other teams are looking at the Ravens and saying the same thing about the Ravens.
That's the only difference between them and the Jets is I look at them and I see like, well, they got a chance every week and it's the Ravens.
I'm going out on I'm sticking with it and it's not happening because Greg's not doing it.
Wait, didn't you fork the Jets?
Yes. That's what I was saying. If you look at these two teams and you look at the schedules, I give the Ravens a chance to get from a 4-5. It's tough to get from 4-5 to the playoffs. You pretty much have to get lucky every week.
All right. Who's up? Is it?
Is it?
It's Colleen.
Colleen.
All right. I'm going to nominate the Packers. I know it's crazy. I feel like this is the first year that they would be mentioned in this segment. But as we talked about at the top of the show, the offense, they can't score points. We saw Brett Hundley. I mean, Mike McCarthy had 2 weeks to basically put a game plan together here. And the game plan was for Hundley to just throw all the passes basically at or behind the line of scrimmage. And when he did go deep, it was like he just held onto the ball so long, like Greg said. I mean, this team, I have no confidence that they're going to be able to gain any ground in the division because now the Lions have the tiebreaker. And so they're even with the Packers now in the division with the Vikings on top. They play the Bears this week.
I lost any faith in them last night. I just don't think Hundley's going to be able to move the team. He doesn't look ready for that type of responsibility. So
they don't really have anything to hang their hat on. They don't have something that gives them hope for them.
All right, I will nominate
Stick a fork in them.
Super Bowl 50 champions, the Denver Broncos.
Ooh.
So now, do they have something you can hang a hat on? Yeah, their defense. It's a great defense. But even that unit has shown some signs of slippage, and maybe that's all tied into how the offense is so badly underperformed. Trevor Siemian's on the bench. Brock Osweiler comes in, and now apparently they're running Brock out for another start, and I don't imagine that's going to go extremely well. They're 3-5 with the Patriots up next, and to me that spells 3-6, and then you're getting into that situation. Even if it's a down year where 9 wins get you in, or even a crazy year with 8, you still have to almost play flawless football. I don't think this team has it in them, so I am nominating the Denver Broncos.
I will stamp that, yes, with you.
A rubber stamp.
Rubber stamping that.
Yeah.
Rubber stamp.
I'm into it as well. I mean, especially after last week against the Eagles, I thought that everybody was talking about the defense and how great it was, and then the Eagles carved them up.
Yeah, crazier things have happened than the Broncos making a run. Like, I don't think, like, But you got to pick some teams. And I don't think they're going to be one of those teams.
You think they're out?
Sure.
Take a fork in
we have four.
I wouldn't want to anger them.
Wow.
No, wait a second. I don't want to be like that either.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Fork them.
You're okay with it?
I'm good.
Broncos, done.
Yeah.
Woo. Sorry, Denver. You've had a lot of nice times. Greg, your turn.
Carson Palmer went down for the season. The Cardinals season was over. They played, you know, la-di-da, you win on in San Francisco. I'm not too excited about that. There's almost no way in a better conference to imagine Drew Stanton winning enough games. So I nominate the Cardinals.
Easy for me. I agree.
Is David Johnson coming back?
We're definitely setting the record of forking teams at 500 or one, within one of 500.
We're so dancing with the devil.
There's definitely no way that all of these teams don't make the playoffs.
We'll
I would put a sandwich on that someone beats.
Well, we're cross-pollinating the games. I like it.
Especially after, like, I don't know, Adrian Peterson, he looked really good this past week. I can't really say that
he hasn't gotten out of bed since the game, but
I know. Really I'm not going to fork him yet. I'm not going to fork him yet.
I like that. Colleen blocking.
How about that?
A blockade.
Yeah, Cardinals I'm blocking it.
It's blocking not actually it. How the game works, but yeah.
All right, Greg. All right, I got to go to my meeting.
I like this Greg on Colleen's radar scenario.
I love
this. Has legs.
All right, so the Cardinals do not get blocked. All right, here, in addition to those seven teams from earlier, Browns, Niners, Giants, Colts, Bucks, Texans, and Bears, we add to that list three more teams for 10. 10 out of 32 are done. The Cincinnati Bengals, the Green Bay Packers, and the Denver Broncos, all forked by the Around the NFL podcast. Now, again, we can be wrong. And if we are wrong, Colleen's taking out her purse. One of those big giant mom pocketbooks from the 80s.
Yeah.
And she'll dig out her checkbook and she'll cut a big one.
Yep. I'm basically new money now.
Yeah.
Chargers and Raiders didn't even get mentioned.
Yeah, Chargers and Raiders, we kind of discussed.
Well, we ran out of time.
Kind of ran out of time, but.
We all liked them enough to give them a shot.
I would have blocked the Raiders. Colleen's got to go. And Christian Anderson behind the glass, a very, almost a strangely passionate endorsement in terms of let's get the Seahawks.
Wow.
Forked in week 9, which is just a wild wild thing going on.
I would they were my Super Bowl pick. I would still stick with that. Why not?
I like the daringness by Christian, though.
Christian, do you want to explain the mania behind that push?
Well, I know it's Greg's game, but I thought this was an instance where you're supposed to kind of go out on a limb and not just choose Marks Brown. So I thought at a team that perhaps down the stretch is going to have some trouble, a team that has to play the Eagles at Jacksonville, at Dallas, against the Rams. And they let
Kirk
Cousins go down the field in 35 seconds in four plays. The Legion of Boom is no more.
Oh, I like that. You know, I like that. Now, Christian.
And that's a playoff run you just mentioned for the Seattle.
Now, Christian, just one more thing, though.
Yes.
Because I know you've already made your formal nomination.
Yes.
Do you honestly believe the Seahawks have no chance of making the playoffs?
I think they have a chance. I just think their chances are not as great as some people make them.
So it's more like an onion hanger. You're throwing.
If they have a chance, then you don't fork them. Although, then we get really down the weeds, because do we really believe none of these teams have even the smallest chance? Of course, we acknowledge it.
I sincerely believe all these teams are dead, these 10 teams.
Maybe Legion of Boom. Dan, you know, I know you're a music guy. Maybe they should be sub-pop out of Seattle because they've lost it.
Yeah, they're no longer a major label.
Yes.
It's like when Nirvana went to, Geffen Records.
Yes.
Although some people would probably say Nirvana was better when they were sub-pop.
I mean, Bleach. I mean,
a little Bleach talk in the
podcast. I like this. We've bled into an entirely different production.
All right, Christian. That was not accepted as a nomination to the greater group, but I think it was important that you got your voice there because we admired it. The onions involved. That's all. Christian Anderson, behind the glass, does a great
Anyone
show.
That wants to get on the radar of Seahawks Twitter, you know, has my sympathy.
Yeah, do you have a Twitter handle that the Seahawks fans can get at you on?
You can find me at Chris Anderson 60. Anderson, S-E-N, like Hans Christian Anderson.
Bring it, right?
Yeah. And
I'm happy with your little tweets, and Seattle, Northwest.
I like the Seahawks.
No,
you can't.
Just
at this
not
point,
this year.
You got to go
irreparable comments by you. Okay. You're not. There's no saving you.
Understood.
The ATN video show that Christian Anderson so finally produces for us will go up live on our website tonight. Tuesday at, you would think I would remember this. Is it 9?
I believe it's 6:30 Western time or Pacific time and Western
6:30 Old Western time.
Okay.
6:30 Pacific time, 9:30 Eastern time. Overseas, that's your problem, not
it's actually
ours.
6 o'clock.
Oh, it's 6.
Oh, so it's good. The way we arranged it, they'd miss at least half the show.
All right, so here we go. Start it over. It is 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Overseas, still a major logistical problem for you.
Half an hour before what you would have had to figure out initially.
All right. And so check that out, the ATN video show. It's our Tuesday show every week. It's up on the website. And we'll be back on Thursday. We will recap the game that we previewed today and then go into a breakdown of all the games in week 10, Mark. Mark, just about over the season now. We're just, you know, we're going into the final home stretch.
I think now we are at the midpoint everyone is so in love with. I think it's about now. It's maybe after this week.
Is the midpoint?
Or after next week.
Okay. It's a little confusing. A lot of confusing things on today's show. Let's end it. Let's move forward as a group. Stan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm. The Tiny Box. Yo, boss. Christian Anderson behind the glass, and Lindsay Fulton. Till Thursday.